This is Leah, and today on Leah's Movie Lowdown, I'll bring you some highlights of a discussion panel with George Wendt held on Saturday, November 11, 2017 at Rhode Island Comic Con. For those who don't know, George Wendt has held such memorable roles as Norm from Cheers, Chuck in Unnatural Causes, Mickey in L.A. Blues, George in The Life Coach, and many, many more. Here is that discussion panel. But a quick note, parts have been minorly edited to enhance sound quality and streamline audience clapping.
So, how are you doing today?
I'm fresh as a daisy, as always.
Excellent. Yeah. So, I just thought I'd start, right from the beginning. The beginning of your career, is that the...
Sure, yeah.
So, like, how did you become a performer? How did you get into acting?
I wanted to do something that I wouldn't hate, so I couldn't think of anything. The only thing I could think of that I wouldn't hate was to be in Second City in Chicago, which is this nightclub, which they do sketch and improv. And so I had no idea how hard it would be to get into that. So I just decided I'd take classes there, and sure enough, it worked out. I spent 6 years there. Although you never really leave, it's like the Marine Corps. You know, you still get calls to do the odd gig. And after that, after 6 years there, met my wife there. We decided to go to LA to look for film and TV work. And that was 1980, and then Cheers popped up in 1982.
Awesome. So you went there to look for film work, and bam, you found Cheers. That's pretty
good. Film and TV work, yeah.
That's excellent. So what was the audition process like for Cheers, for, you know, the
well,
character of Norm?
There's no, you know, the better story is Ratzenberg's story, which I'll tell.
He told it just last year, right here, so
yeah,
go on.
Yeah. Well, my story was, that I was not available for Cheers because I was on this other show. And, but they said, well, look, can you come in and do a guest spot? And my agent says, I got to tell you, honey, it's just one line. Actually, it's one word. Actually, it's one syllable. And it was beer, of course, was the word. And it was supposed to be at the end of the episode, a little tag, where Shelley goes, hello, my name is Diane, I'll be your waitress. I'm not really a waitress, I'm an academic, blah, blah, blah. And she goes into her, you know, page-long spiel like she always did. And then she said, oh, I should probably take your order. And I go, and she says, what do you have? And I go, beer. But they cut that. They said, that's too small. Why don't you read this other role? And it was named George. And so then they said, all right, we want you to do it. But I wasn't allowed to do both shows. So they had me as a guest on the pilot and then added me as a regular once my other show was canceled. Like you do. And just about 3 or 4 years ago, I found out that they were actually interested in me from the get-go, which was weird. I'm glad I didn't know. But it was named George, and I thought that was peculiar. And the Charles Brothers and Jim Burrows were being interviewed at UC Santa Barbara, and they had to show up as a surprise guest. So I'm sort of sitting there in the wings, just watching them because they're so funny and cool. And some audience member said, "Now, did you have anybody in mind when you were writing Cheers for casting?" And they go, "Oh my God, no. Oh, we saw everybody in Hollywood, you know, and this is Sam and Diane." And it said it took months and months. And then they go, "But yeah, Rhea, yeah, we had her in mind, and George." I'm like, "What? Now you tell me?" Anyway, but the better story is Ratzenberger goes in for George and senses that it wasn't going well. So, have you heard this one? Okay.
That's a great story.
They're like, "Thank you very much," and he's, "Thank you," and he's literally, not figuratively, literally has 1 foot out the door. And pops his head back in and says, "Do you have a bar know-it-all?" And they go, "No, what do you mean?" And he started improvising in that Cliff Clavin character. And they started laughing and they wrote it into the show, and there you go. So yeah, that's, he had some chutzpah. But the name Cliff Clavin was, I think, Jim Burrow's wife's gynecologist.
But so did you, like Ratzenberger, did you have any creation in, you know, Norm was, you know, 11 years it went on, so did you have any input in those years into the character? Any of the dialogue or scenes?
They didn't need much help from me. You know, they were such great, clever writers. I just accepted gleefully, you know, everything they sent my way.
I would say they would need much from you. I think you played that character. He played that character really well, didn't he? I mean, that was one of the greatest parts of that show.
Thank you. Stop. Oh, come on. Looking like a guy who needed a beer. You know, that was like a lifetime in the making. That role.
Just to prove how popular Norm Peterson is, you've played him for a record on 5 different series throughout your career. So that's how popular he is.
I think there's more.
My bad. I don't know. You're a Norm expert, huh?
I think, okay, so Cheers, does that count as one?
Absolutely.
And Cheers, Tortelli's.
Tortelli's, yeah.
Wings. Frasier,
I got.
St. Elsewhere.
Right, I know one.
Simpsons.
Oh, I didn't count that.
Family Guy. Simpsons was funny. I don't remember Family Guy too much, but Simpsons was, Norm got surly with Woody. Like, he wouldn't give me a beer. I'm like, give me a beer, Woody. And he's like, I don't know, Mr. Peterson, you've had it. And I take an empty beer bottle and I smash it over the bar. And I go, I threaten him, like I hold it to his throat. You dumb hick, give me a beer. Like, hillbilly, you know, they can get away with murder.
Did you have a favorite scene or episode for Norm, or just overall in Cheers? Did you have a favorite maybe part that maybe you weren't even in? But
you know, one of my favorite episodes, and I don't know why, but when the boys all went skydiving,
yeah,
and to a man we chickened out. So we're up in the plane and we've all completely bailed out on doing that. But we can't tell them at the bar that we chickened out. Right, so we've got to come up with a story. Right, but we've got to be able to stick to the story, you know, so let's keep it very simple, keep it believable. Right, it's got to be simple and believable. So Sam goes, I've got it. We jumped, the parachutes opened, and we landed. It's simple. It's believable. Right. Okay, everybody. Right. Okay. Right. We jumped, the parachutes opened, and we landed. Right. And so we get back to the bar. We're like, woo! Oh my God. We're high-fiving. And that was amazing. That was, I feel so alive. And Rhea's, Carla goes, whoa, what happened? What? Oh, it was fantastic. What? And then she corners Woody. And, Woody, what happened? And he goes, what? We jumped, the parachutes opened, and we landed. It was all very simple and believable. And then another favorite joke was another Woody joke. We were in having a feud with Gary's Old Town Tavern, and Woody got kidnapped or something. And we're like worried, concerned about his whereabouts. And then we see, you know, those stairs going down. There was a window and we see Woody bound and gagged with like duct tape and hanging by a noose from his feet. And they lowered him down into the window. And he's like Houdini. He's like, and we run out to cut him down and save him. And he's like, he's trying to tell us something. What? You know, take the tape off. And we go, you know, don't rip off the tape. Too late.
I just wanted, there's a couple more parts in your career I want to talk, and one of my favorite TV shows is Columbo. You played one of the killers in one of the last episodes of Columbo, and I was wondering if you could talk about that for a little bit.
Yeah, well, it was a thrill, you know, to be the bad guy in Columbo, and I was really bad. I murdered my brother. And so, you know, the format, which I remember seeing, you know, in my younger days, but I sort of really didn't understand. But it's, you know, there's all these cat and mouse scenes with the killer. And the audience knows, and the fun was trying to find, you know, how Columbo figured it out. So, geez, we must have had maybe four, you know, like five-page cat and mouse scenes. And Peter was just amazing. That guy, he was just so much fun. Such great stories and such a bulldog, you know, really just, we'd go over them, and he'd say, no, don't do it that way. Don't, you know, and then I'd be looking at him when he was trying to tell me, you know, what to do. And I'd be going, do it like that. And, okay. Anyway, I've never seen anybody get laughs just by what the audience thinks he might say. Like, you know, somebody would ask a question and then Peter would go, see, it doesn't work for me. And Peter, they would just break out laughing, just wondering what he was thinking.
And for those of you who know, he's talking about Peter Falk, who's the star of Columbo. You guys know Columbo, right? Yeah. I'm looking around their audience. They're all about my age, so we all grew up watching that. But, you know, another great character you had was Bob Swirsky with, if those of you don't know, that's De Beers. So I thought I thought maybe we could talk a little about how that came about.
Well, Joe Mantegna, okay. You know how it really came about was these guys were in Second City classes, much like the ones I took. And they were doing a show at a bar called the Deja Vu on Lincoln Avenue in Chicago. And it was amongst the cast was Conan O'Brien and Robert Smigel and Bob Odenkirk and Andy Richter. And so Lorne Michaels was looking for people for SNL. And so Franken and Davis, our great senator from Minnesota, Al Franken, and the late Tom Davis, his former writing partner, they were sent to Chicago and they went to see this show miraculously, and they hired Conan and Smigel and Odenkirk for SNL. And so they, for 2-3 years, they kept pitching this idea of these Chicago sports fans, this sketch that they had done in Chicago. And everyone's like, nah, I don't think so. So finally Joe Mantegna hosted, and he was interested. So it got on the air, and I thought it was hilarious because, you know, Joe's a friend, and you know, so then a few months later I was hosting. Oh, that was a Bears game against the Giants, and the Bulls were making their run in the spring to the championship, and so that was, they asked me if I would do it, and so that's why I was sort of sitting in for my brother Bill or my brother Bob. I can never remember who was who, because Joe wasn't available at the time. So we did a lot of those, and we still do stupid things. We have fun with those characters. They're completely ridiculous. I think we did a State Farm commercial like 2 years ago with Aaron Rodgers. My first shot of the morning was, okay, lay down on this massage, take off your clothes, lay down on this massage table, and Coach Ditka is gonna, you know, give you a massage, you know, smoking a big cigar, and he's like, and, you know, those characters were so latently homosexual, you know, and I was, instead of those massage pillows, it was a ring bologna, you know? And so I'm like, man, this itch. Rob Ditka's massaging me, and then it was my dream sequence. It turns out I fell asleep on a plane next to Aaron Rodgers, and I was gnawing on his shoulder. And then he went down with like a shoulder injury. So. But those, the characters are fun.
Excellent. So do you, like, you know, with years of playing Norm, I would imagine, do you go to a bar and people just buy you beer all the time?
It can happen.
It does happen? Would you, can I buy you a beer?
Why, certainly.
Okay. No, I meant now.
Yeah. I'm not much of a day drinker, truth be told. But I appreciate the gesture.
But it just so happens to be I own a company that makes pint glasses, so.
Yeah.
Do you have any other further comments about Norm? Any favorite scenes? Any favorite, you know, maybe his wife you can talk about? Or how? Why did we never see her?
Oh, you didn't want to see her. It was just a mercy rule for the audience.
And who was your favorite character to play off of? You had Woody, you had Sam, you had Carla.
Jeez, it was Murderer's Row, you know. I can't really pick anyone out. I mean, John, obviously, you know, we had tremendous chemistry, but it was the same with everybody. Oh, I can tell you about the spitballs. You know how I sat at the waitress station, basically, or right next to it? I had all the gear, you know, so I had these little cocktail napkins and little cocktail straws. And so I would just take a little nip of the napkin and play with it in my mouth and do it through the little straw. And I was deadly. I could munch clear across the bar. So I used to like to pick up, because once in a while he had a little chunk of, you know, like a paragraph to say instead of just the odd, you know, one-liner. So I used to just pelt his forehead. If you've got like freeze frame on your DVDs, you can see like just ding, you know, spitballs whizzing off his forehead. And but my greatest moment was Ted's mouth was open, and I got him right on the uvula. I saw it. I zened it all the way, ding, like right. He was like, yeah. So I was good with that.
So I thought we'd have a fun little idea. Is that, you know, you have the, you know what a Norm witticism is, right?
All right.
You know what those are? So I want you guys to help me out. So what we're going to do is I'm going to say, you know, one of those questions that Woody or Sam or Carla would ask, and then Norm would respond. You guys remember what I'm talking about? But what happens before that happens? He walks in the bar and everyone goes,
Norm!
Okay, so every time I go like that, I want you guys to go Norm. And so whatever, what is it? What's next door? Like a Star Trek panel or whatever. I want them to hear us saying Norm. And then I was going to give Mr. Wendt a script and he was going to read off it as we do it, kind of like, you know, just a part in the episode. But he has challenged me that he's going to maybe possibly remember them. So we're going to see how we're going to do. All right, you guys ready? Are you ready, Mr. Wendt?
I'm gonna bat 9 out of 10.
Really?
I think so.
Wow. I'd be quite impressed. All right, so here we go.
Norm!
How's a beer sound, Norm? How does a beer sound, Norm?
Drink me.
Do you want me to just say it?
Yeah.
I don't know, I usually finish them before they get a word in.
See how much more clever those guys were than me.
Norm!
Can I draw you a beer, Norm?
I know what they look like. Just pour it.
There you go.
Ding, ding, ding. All right, this is gonna get old. This is gonna get old with the Norm. Come on.
All right, that was the last one. All right. What would you say to a nice beer, Normie?
Hello, sailor. New in town?
This one's my
favorite. Is it right?
Yeah. Okay. Well, there's actually two where he says the same. That one says going down, the other one says sailor, new in town. What's new, Normie? This one's long, but it's funny.
I don't know.
Terrorists, Sam, they've taken over my stomach and they're demanding beer. And this one's being asked by Coach. What'll it be, Normie? Just the usual, Coach. I'll have a froth of beer.
No.
And a snorkel. We'll do one more.
You know, Nick used to sometimes garble the setup lines, which, you know, left me out to dry. You know, like the, I think the punchline, or the setup was supposed to be, how's life treating you, Norm? And my answer was, like I just ran over his dog. So he'd go, "Hey, Normie, want a beer?" Like I just ran over his dog. Thanks for that, Nick. Okay, take two. "Normie, how you doing?" Like I just ran over his dog. You know, so anyway, the gag reels were fun.
All right, great. Let's see if we have any questions from the audience. Do we have any questions from the audience here? Elias, are you still here with the mic? Where's Elias? Where's my mic guy? Oh, it's her. Okay. She's right over there. What's that? Oh, like the Sith. Okay, cool.
Hey, George, thanks for being here today. I just want to follow up on the Superfans conversation. I've heard that at some point they were planning a movie and that you guys have actually done a live reading of the script. I just wanted to kind of get your thoughts on you know, how far along in the development process that was and how the script reading went.
Well, it was a long time ago. It was before Chris Farley died. And so that, you know, it was pretty far along, but as soon as Chris died, that was the end of it. So so then maybe like whatever years later, you know, as a benefit concert for Chris Farley Foundation, you know, we did a reading of it with lots of folks helping out. And, you know, it was hilarious. Way too long, but, you know, it was funny. It was a new sport, fan ball, where Chris was inside of a bubble. And, you know, like all the fans, there was no teams. There was this, you know, like 50,000 New York fans versus 50,000 Chicago fans trying to push this boy in a bubble, Chris, like, you know, over, you know, past the goal line. And, but, it, you know, it had all sorts of, you know, these guys, it's Bob Odenkirk and Robert Smigel, very clever, very vicious satirists, you know, so they took swipes at everything. But anyway, it was a fun read, but, you know, rest in peace, Chris.
Hey, George, thanks for being here. Yeah. How was your experience working on House, the movie House?
Yeah. Well, it was fun, thanks. It was fun, you know, playing around with a monster on a fishing line. You know, it was fun, and Bill Catt was really, really fun. And turns out the director and I grew up in the same neighborhood on the south side of Chicago, Stephen Miner. And, you know, so it was good times. And I don't really, forgive me, I don't have, you know, some amazing stories. You know, Cheers is so much different. You know, we had a lot of downtime. We were all together every day. Movies are such a more dry process. You know, you can't really mess around.
All right, thank you. Do we have a question over here?
Hi, George. It's great to see you. What is the funniest thing you think Norm ever said?
Well, I think the gold standard is probably Dog Eat Dog World, but I'm wearing milk bone underwear. yeah. There's a couple others that rival it, like, "Dear Normie, yeah, Coach, but stop me at 1. Make that 1:30. And then, "What's shaking, Norm? All 4 cheeks and a couple of chins." but there was a bunch.
Hi, George.
Hi.
I was just curious if you could talk about a couple of your villain roles that you've done, like on the Masters of Horror episode Family by John Landis, or my favorite, King of the Ants, which scared the crap out of me when I saw you on that, honestly.
Yeah, yeah. Well, both, you know, fun projects, crazy. Landis asked me if, he said, "Now, George, if I got an ear, nose, and throat surgeon to come in and shoot a string a camera up your nose and down your throat, would you be okay with that?" And I was like, "Oh, Jesus," because I have a pretty strong gag reflex. And So I said, yeah, you know, it's a ear, nose, and throat surgeon, so what the hell? And this couple was torturing me and with some device, and they were going up my nose, and Landis wanted to see my vocal cords going, screaming, going, ah! And the crew, meanwhile, it was the last shot of the night, it was like 3 a.m, and the crew had, you know, like a puke bucket there for me, and they had a pool going as to whether I would puke or not. And so I told John, yeah, I'll do it, but I want the final shooting script to read, Interior George Wendt. Just so that's the way it landed. But I was really, the most shocking thing was I couldn't believe how much hair I had in my nose. This camera going up in there is like, it was like a forest. It's crazy.
I'm a huge fan, but who is your favorite person you met from Cheers?
Who's my favorite person that I met?
From Cheers, yeah.
Well, there's the whole cast, you know, but apart from the cast, we had a lot of fun guest stars. I'm thinking John Cleese jumps out right off the bat.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Monty Python guy.
That's always been my favorite episode, the one with John Cleese.
Well, I think he did 2 or 3 actually.
He was like the marriage counselor.
Yeah.
For the two of them, and he was great.
Hi, Mr. Wendt. Nice to meet you. Can you talk a little bit about the night when it was the final episode and you're on the Tonight Show and you all came to the actual Cheers in Boston? Any good kind of anecdote stories about that night? It seemed like you're all having a good time. I remember being kind of a, on TV at least, a show like it was a wild, crazy night.
Yeah, well, NBC thought it would be good to have us do the Tonight Show, and Jay Leno was brand new on the job. He was trying to, you know, be pretty, you know, have control over it. But what happened was, it was a 2-hour episode, I think, and nobody thought to feed us. And so we just pounded drinks because it was, you know, such an occasion. So we were just, you know, hammered. not cute at all. I mean, it was icky, you know, and poor Jay was trying to keep it together, and, you know, we were just, there might have been, you know, I don't know what, we just were incorrigible. But, you know, so I apologize for that one. But,
question, but you had, on the set of Cheers, you had maybe hundreds and hundreds of not beers. If you had a choice, what would have been your beer of choice to be in that glass every day or most days on the set?
It feels like it would be bordering on an endorsement. So you'd have to back up the truck, I think, before I divulge that.
That's a good point. I guess any beer company in the world would pay anything almost to get you to endorse beer. Well, I mean, they would pay all.
Yeah, you know, I've done my share of beer commercials.
You have?
I have. I think I did Miller Lite here, and then I did a Coors thing here, and a lot of overseas, like Denmark and Ireland and Canada.
That's a great question, because had you answered, and let's just say your answer was Foster's, which it's not, because nobody likes that beer. But let's say it was Foster's, it would be all over the internet. Norm Peterson endorses Foster's. It would go. He didn't say that. I did, and okay, go on the internet and go crazy. Where's our next question?
No, I do. My standard answer is, what's your favorite beer? Is Free and Free Light.
Hey, Mr. Wendt.
Hey.
Just wanted to ask a question. Was, did they ever touch upon what your tab actually was?
What?
Your tab.
Oh, my tab. No, some guy, at least one guy, has done it, figured it out from binge watching, I guess. And I honestly, I don't know the answer, but some guy figured it out.
Hi, George. Just a quick question, going back to beer for a minute. What is your take on the microbrew explosion? Are you into those, or is it the bigger brands that you...
No, I...
Without naming any brands, of course.
No, you know, the microbrew thing is amazing. And, you know, my MO lately is, you know, to, when I go to, you know, like region or town X, Y, or Z, I you know, look up and ask around, like, what's the cool local craft brew, if you will. And also, you know, the cool, you know, macro brew. You know, sometimes they have them regionally. And yes, I like all that stuff. It's pretty amazing.
I'm holding it. You had a good question last time, so you got to have a good one too.
So. I don't know if it means good. So do they actually, what do they pour you actually is on set for the show? Was it actually something?
Well, it was near beer, you know, so non-alcoholic beer. And there weren't a lot of choices like there are now. So it was Kingsbury Brew near beer from Cincinnati. And it wasn't available on draft. So we had cases of cans of it. So, but the producers wanted it to come out of a tap handle. So they poured it into like Coca-Cola dispensers. And of course, well before shooting, because, you know, props department had more important things to do. And it came out kind of warm and flat. So they said, that doesn't look good. And so the prop man put every beer glass on the set had a pinch of salt in the bottom. So it was salty, warm, flat, near beer.
Hi, George, can you hear me okay? Cheers was one of my all-time favorite shows, and one of my favorite episodes was when you carried Mr. Drake across the lawn in his pajamas so Rebecca could escape. You remember that episode, I'm sure.
Yeah, I remember Tom Skerritt being way heavier than he looks.
My question to you is, what is your favorite episode and why?
It was that jumping jerks, and no real reason. Although, if you wanted to go for, like, a norm-focused story, I always found those, I thought the show was at its best when everybody had their sort of proper function, you know, where it was like a Sam Diane romantic thing, and you know, each of the characters had a nice little joke or entrance or, you know, B story, if you will, or a teaser or a tag. So once in a while, we'd all get these episodes that focused on, you know, Cliff or Carla or Woody or something, and so Rhea's sister, Heidi Perlman, terrific comedy writer, not just Rhea's sister, but she's been on writing on everything forever. She wrote one called The Executive's Executioner, where I had a job, which, you know, weird. And the job, they found out that I was good at giving the hatchet to firing people, because I burst into tears. I was so compassionate every time I had to fire somebody, I would burst into tears. So now everyone at the company, it was like a big firm apparently, and you know, somebody said they wanted to know if you wanted to have a beer at Cheers with Norm. No, you're getting the axe. Like, it was fun.
I remember that one, thank you.
Cool.
Hey, George.
Hi.
How's it going?
Ooh. What did we mention? FOMO.
I know what the panel is.
One of the things that defines your character is, of course, the drinking beer. But otherwise, you did touch upon it. You're an accountant for a big portion of the show. My wife is also an accountant here.
Ah, cool.
And she wanted to ask a question, but didn't feel like asking it, so I'm doing it for her. Have you ever had anyone come up to you and be like, you're such an idol for accountants?
Yeah, actually, yeah. Yeah, they're usually postmen, but yeah.
That's a good point. Norm Peterson is probably the most famous accountant on television. Is there really, yeah. Has there really been one? I mean, Cliff would be the most famous postman, obviously.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, I was out of work for the most part, so it was just...
Well, he was an out-of-work accountant, right? The...
Out-of-work accountant who didn't have a particularly good relationship with his wife. And was well overweight. So these are the perils and evils of drink. That was the subtext of the whole show.
If I understand, I didn't know this, but your actual wife in real life, did the voice revere her?
She did.
I didn't know that until I did my research.
You would want to see her.
Oh no, I wasn't saying anything. Oh no. God, I'm in trouble.
Hi, do you in contact with anyone from Cheers still? And if so, who?
Yes. Everybody, not every 2 seconds, but you know what? Probably mostly would be Woody, Rhea, Ted, John. I see BB, I see Kelsey, I see Everett, Shelley. Yeah, no, everybody, really. Kirsty, yeah.
Is there any time you guys have all been together since Cheers?
I don't think so. It's really hard, you know.
Because everybody has, you know, they're pretty, you know.
Everybody's got families, and you know, like Woody lives in Hawaii. And,
well, Woody, and he's been busy too. He's had several movies come out this year.
Yeah.
And he's in Han Solo coming up.
Yeah.
Coming out in a couple of months. He's got a lot of, he's a busy guy. So we got another question way in the back, and it might be our last, right? That's going to be our last question.
Yeah. Okay. Last year, as you know, John Ratzenberger was here, and we started a Facebook page called Bring Back Norm and Cliff. Have any idea about that? What's going on with that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Just, we were sitting here, and in the conversation we were having about, wouldn't it be good, you know, they did Frasier after Cheers, we were thinking Norm and Cliff would be a great episode. Was it Cliff or Norm, or Norm or Cliff? And then my friend Rob here in the front row, he actually started the Facebook page while the panel was happening. And so thank you for bringing that up. That's so funny that somebody remembered that from the audience. But they really wanted to do a Cliff and Norm show. Wouldn't that be hilarious? I'm sorry, Norm and Cliff show.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I mean, I always imagined Norm would be, you know, managing a sober living house somewhere. If he's still alive.
Yeah, it's called Bring Back Cliff and Norm. It has 163 members. Okay, very good. That's a great final quote. We would love to see Norm back. You said you did 7 different iterations of Norm on 7 different shows, so maybe someday we'll see an 8th, possibly.
Yeah, I wouldn't rule it out.
I think it'd be great. Well, Mr. Peterson will be here for the rest of the weekend.
My thanks to Altered Reality Entertainment, Rhode Island Comic Con, and George Wendt for that exciting and hilarious panel discussion. For more information about George Wendt, including a list of upcoming projects, visit imdb.com. Leah's Movie Lowdown is produced by me at WSCA Portsmouth Community Radio. I can be reached anytime at suggestions@leahsmovielowdown.com. And as always, please follow me on Twitter @LMovieLowdown.